Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes on this Independence Day weekend. The USS Hornet Sea Air and Space Museum in Alameda, California, with an incomparable across-the-bay view of San Francisco's skyline, by the way, is going to be open 10 to 5 on the 4th of July. If you go, make sure you spend some time in the Nisei Veterans Exhibit, where the second room you'll step into is the Lawson Sakai Room, named for a veteran from the famed 442nd Regimental Combat Team who earned 4 Purple Hearts in World War II. We'll hear more of his memories in a bit. But right next to a photo of Lawson is a display honoring Medal of Honor recipient Joe Sakato, complete with these quotes from Joe. "Japanese ethnicity taught me to be strong," he said, "but first, I was an American." Here's some of Joe Sakato's story.
In France, we ended up in the near the Vosges Mountains of the Swiss border and the German border, foothills of the Swiss Alps, and climbing those hills is like 45-degree angle, and I had to pull on tree roots and pull myself up. Somebody else would take my pack, and somebody else. I was the last one up the hill. And when we got up top of the hill, this is going to be our first day of battle. And I was talking with one of my friends from Washington. We sat there, and we didn't know what incoming or outgoing was. When these veterans from the 442s of the 100 were fighting in Italy, they came back. I hear this. Then the guy says, "Oh, that's outgoing." Okay, next, we're talking around, and then pretty soon, boom. I picked myself up about 15 feet, 10 feet away. I got a nick in my wrist, and then in my foot, I had another nick. But I looked down, and I see my friend laying down, face down, and I turned him over, and a shrapnel grazed his jugular vein. And the blood was squirting out every time his pulse was beat. With this stream of blood the size of a pencil would come out. And I'm trying to, my wound was nothing. So I was putting sulfur on his wound and put a pad on it and putting it too hard and he couldn't breathe. And I had to let go and blood was still squirting out. If I lost too much blood, he was the first to die on me.
And that was your very first day of combat?
First day of combat. The other veterans, they knew what's going on. But for me to get blown up and then see something, see my friend squirting blood, bleeding, I couldn't help him without choking him. And then I said, well, this is not for me. I don't know what I'm doing here. But we had to go. So we finally had to climb this hill and moving forward to town of Brewers, and the 3rd Battalion was down the bottom in the valley heading for Brewers, and then we heard house-to-house combat. They were fixed bayonets. So as we were marching towards the other end of the hill, the explosion goes off the top of the ridge that we were following, landmines. So we had to get on our stomach and pull out our bayonets and probe for landmines on it, inch by inch. What if I hit the trigger of the landmine? Holy mackerel. Boom. Another mine went off. Some at the top of the ridge. Well, we traveled on top of the ridge so we could look down to the left side and look down on the right-hand side. So as we traveled, they had these landmines put up. Then we finally got those out of the way, and then we got down to the end of the hill and we're looking down at this town of Brewers, and you see a tank, German Tiger tanks going out. Hooray, they're leaving. Then he got out in the middle of the field and he turns around, and that's funny, his barrel is facing us. And next thing I hear, boom. Then they see a ring of smoke on the end of the barrel of the tank, and then pow, hit the tree behind us. He was shooting at us. We had to run on the other side and try to dig in about 6 inches and hit tree roots and rocks. And I had to crawl into my helmet, and I said, what am I getting into now? Oh, my God. Then we finally took that hill, went to the next hill, took another hill, and we got another one. And we got early in the morning, and they chased the Germans off this one hill. Chased them all the way down to the bottom of the hill, and the sergeant says, come back. So I was heading back, and the German is shooting at me, and I'm shooting back at him. And then I go up, try to get back up the hill, and I go about 10 feet, and I got to rest. I go 10 more feet and rest. When I got on top of the hill, nobody was there. They thought I had joined them, and they all headed back downhill. Their eyes didn't know which way was our lines.
So you were all alone?
I was all alone by myself. And I got down, I got to the south end, the east end, left end of the hill, and I saw a big bush and 3 feet high, and I crawled inside that bush and put some branches on top of my face and nose. And I stayed there for a couple hours, and then German patrol comes by. Oh, my God. 2 more hours goes by. And well, it's now 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. I see our helmet, and I said, oh, that's hot. Hey, what company is this? The guy wanted to shoot me because I didn't know the password. He says, I've been up this hill for 6 hours, and I don't know where the password is now. The F company. So they took me back and got down. As soon as I got down the hill, got the rest of the company. Captain says, third platoon, you got to go up and see this colonel. I just got to join the company. Well, you got to go. So we go up. One fellow was writing up a citation for that hill because we had taken that hill in 2 hours, an hour and a half. He was writing his third platoon. So he had to join us. He put all the information in his pocket, and we get up to see this colonel, and the colonel says he wanted to see where his men were. This is the 36th Division, Texas unit, in the Howley outfit. And we go out and see somebody chopping wood on this side of the hill and somebody's chopping wood on the other side of the hill. And then we go up about 1,000 yards. Oh, sure enough, there's men were dug in the foxholes and everything. Then the lieutenant there says, go see where the Germans are at. Why should we go see where the Germans are? Why can't they go see where the Germans are at? They didn't have orders. What do you mean they didn't have orders? So we go up, go another 500 yards, and German machine gun. We hit the ground. I rolled over to the left, got behind a bush. Guy from Pueblo, Colorado was on my left side. He was out in the open. Ben Masoka was writing up a citation. He was on my right side of my head. He was out in the open. And the guy named Friday on the other side of him, he was out in the open. George put up on our left side. He looked up, first one to get to. A sniper, German sniper, had telescopic sights with crosshair. Pow! Right through the temple. First one to go. Then Ben on the other side, he didn't have his helmet strapped on. Pow! He decreased his temple. Blood just come out, and then the helmet flew right way back. Then Friday, he looks up. He got shot. So all three guys got shot and looking for me, and I'm behind this bush, and he couldn't see me. I had to go back, and I, for just to see where the their own troops were, we had to go and find where the Germans were. We get shot. We lose three men just for nothing.
So it sounds like the message that you're getting is you guys were expendable.
That's what we were. General Dahlquist was, kept pushing, you got to move. That's why the 141st Unit, the Lost Battalion, got surrounded because they went too fast. They were moving too fast, and the rest of the 142nd and 403rd could not rescue them. So it was up to 442 to rescue the Lost Battalion. We're on this side of the hill. We cross the railroad tracks, and we get this order. They just pointed out that one hill, the 617. It's a big rocky ledge, cliffs, and then the rest of the mountain comes down. And we had to take that hill, and how are we going to get on top of that hill? He says, well, we go around it, but we have to chase the Germans off first. So we went on trucks, and we went behind the 7th Army, was fighting the Germans. And we went behind them and got on the back side of this hill. But we stayed on the west side of the hill down below, and at half step at a time we marched towards this cliff area. And when we took us all night to get up so far, we got to the area. At dawn, we started our attack. Now we were behind the Germans. We surrounded the Germans, and the Germans had to get out of their foxholes and went east to the east side, and then they joined the troops that was fighting the 3rd Battalion that was going into the valley. And we finally got them down and around there. We jumped. Then artillery came in. The Germans sent artillery in, so we had to jump in the Germans' foxholes. And then we waited, and pretty soon the artillery stopped. They're going to be a counterattack. So the Germans called, radioed the troops that were fighting the 7th Army to come across. And they came across. Now they came in the same area that we had come in. Now the Germans were behind us. We were being surrounded again. They were trying to chase us out of their own foxholes. And we got out so far. And then I told one of the fellows, watch out for the machine gun. So he looks up and he says, where? And he got shot. When he got shot, I crawled over and picked him up, and he died in my arms. And I says, God, I was going to get the SOB that shot him, or else die trying. So I picked up my Thompson, and I crisscrossed the hill. I went northeast one way, and then I fired. I had a Thompson submachine gun that I stole out of a Sherman tank that was crippled, and they were waiting for parts to fix it. But the troops that were from the tank were in the farmhouse talking to a farmer, and nobody was in the tank, so I crawled into the tank and pulled out the Thompson submachine gun and left my rifle. And then I was able to use it on this hill. When I fired it, it fired good straight up, and I says, oh, that's no good either. So I turned it on the side, and I started one left-hand side, and I... And it would automatically move to the right-hand side. That was real great. Mowed down a bunch of bushes, and next thing you know, I was going back and forth. When I go up to one, I fired it, and I turn it over again and run up the other way, and then I was throwing it again. The Germans that were from the 7th Army didn't know about this rocky ledge. And then when they finally got to the top of the rocky ledge, they couldn't see where they could go around it, because the rest of the E Company was on the east side of it. They couldn't go there, so they dropped their rifles. I shot 6 of them, I know, but they said I shot 12 of them, and we captured 37 prisoners. They dropped their rifles because they couldn't get past that hill. And then therefore we came back, and we had to go to the left side hill. G Company moved over to the east end hills to chase the Germans off of the east hill down on the east side. And the 100th Battalion team came over and took over the hill 617, the east side of that hill, and then moved up towards the Lost Battalion. And the I Company was catching hell because they were getting shot from one hill and the other hill crossfire. When they finally got to the Lost Battalion, 150 men, only 7 of them, I Company was able to walk. K Company had 17 men. 100th Battalion had 20 men. We had 30. We was on the east side. We didn't get as bad as the others. I got wounded, and I was headed back to the aid station. And I'm the only one there going towards the aid station, and the Germans send up a mortar shell, lands up about 10 feet away from me and picked me up and blew me closer to the aid station. Then I was 3 months in the Epinal Hospital, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. And then they finally got me on a plane and went to England.
Some of the late, great Joe Sakato's Medal of Honor story. He's one of the Nisei veterans honored in a special exhibit aboard the USS Hornet Museum in Alameda, California, which you can check out on the 4th of July or anytime it's open. And we'll try to bring a little more of that exhibit to life for you when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this. Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. More than 1,000 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.